Well, greetings, Saddleback Covenant Church, our fellowship, our people. This is week number 8. Is it week number 8, Ethan? Sure. Who's keeping count? I am. No. But it is a privilege to come together and worship with you guys, for you guys, and to encourage you in worship. Remember, God is looking for worshipers. And a couple of songs that we're going to sing today, especially at the end of our service, is part of that chorus says, "When I trust you, I don't need to understand." And there are a lot of questions, a lot of stuff going on today, but it is imperative that we just fix our gaze, as we're also going to sing, our gaze be lifted up and look at him. I was talking to Kev, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing this, but with everything going on, I slyly asked him, I said, "Kevin, do you ever think that Jesus is going to come back in your lifetime? Because, you know, it's pretty crazy." I said, "Have you ever had those thoughts?" And he said, "You know, I don't know. All I have to say is," and this is Kevin, he said, "Jesus is waiting. First of all, his time is perfect, and he is waiting until the very last minute so that he can get the biggest harvest possible. He can get the most into his kingdom." And I just thought that's just amazing. That shows the love of the Lord, the love of Christ, who is waiting until the last minute. So our job as people of faith is to represent Jesus, is to show Jesus and witness and bring people over to our side. And so that is our goal. And as we worship right here, wherever you guys are at, just be thinking about him and lift our gaze up at him. We don't need to understand. We just need to trust. So amen. Let's worship.
Arises, we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait.
Strength arise now.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will
wait. Our God.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
You are
the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow. We wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will
wait.
Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you. You are worthy to be praised, Father. Worthy to be praised, Lord.
Up your gaze, be lifted up. Tell everyone how great the love come down from heaven's gate. Kiss the earth with hope and grace. We sing, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty.
Hands.
Lift up your hands, be lifted up. Let the redeemed declare the love. They are down at heaven's gate. To kiss the feet of hope and grace. We sing, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty.
There is only one.
There is one God, and He is holy. There is one. King of glory, strong and mighty. There is one God, He is holy. There is one Lord over everything. There is one King, He is Jesus. King of glory, strong and mighty.
Oh, you are.
You are the King of glory, and the Lord.
Well, it's great to see everybody once again. I want to thank Pat and Lindsay and the worship team. That was tremendous. And it's a special day. It's Mother's Day. And I would like to personally wish a Mother's Day to every one of you out there. Couldn't do it without you. wouldn't be here without you. And I'd be in arrears if I didn't also say Happy Mother's Day to the grandmothers. You know what that means? It means you are a grandmother. And we have a few, and I won't name the names lest I forget one of you, great grandmothers, which means you are a great grandmother. And we need you. I wanted to share a quote by Theodore Roosevelt, former president of the United States, around the year 1904. He said this about mothers. When it's all said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of this next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman, artist or scientist. Amazing. Well, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on the alert, be on your guard, or stand firm and take courage, be strong. And that would be my exhortation to the moms. We couldn't, like I said earlier, we couldn't do it without you. And today is going to be a special day. Our first speaker is Erica Norton, whom I have known actually since she was in high school. And she has worked tirelessly for our church over these many years, working with women's ministry, coordinating our ladies' retreats, working on marriage retreats. And in particular, in recent days, she has been using Zoom calls to keep everyone in touch. And so I wanted her to share what's on her heart as well. As a sidebar, she and her husband, John, Jack, Naomi, and Sheffield have traveled around the world 4 times doing ministry work through Concordia University. Amazing stories of dozens and dozens of countries. So she is an amazing person, an amazing mom. So Erica, if you would come up right now, we'd like to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Kevin, so much. It's a privilege to be here. Hello, SEC, and happy Mother's Day. We really miss being all together. My family deeply misses being here and being all together on a Sunday. I really miss corporate worship and Sunday morning hugs and prayer. As many of you know, we have traveled as a family on missions trips that take us abroad for 5 months at a time. I always deeply miss our community and being together in our church building. That time away always makes me extra aware of the blessing we have in this community at SEC that he's given us. It always makes me extra grateful for Pat and the worship team and for Pastor Kevin's leadership, wisdom, and heart for us. It's truly a privilege to gather together with the body of Christ and to be a part of this church God has given us. This time of quarantine has now been a time for all of us to be away from our church building, away from gathering on Sundays and seeing one another face to face. I pray this increases in us, all of us, a gratefulness for things that are easy to take for granted, a gratefulness for being together, for being able to gather and pray and worship all together on Sundays. I've been so encouraged during this time, though. Kevin always reminds us that the church is not our building. Well, this for sure has been the proving ground for that. We may not be able to meet in our building, but I have seen our church body continue to show up for one another. Prayer meetings, men's groups, home groups, youth groups, Bible studies, all haven't skipped a beat. It looks different with phone calls and Zoom meetings, but it's still connection, prayer, and community. I've seen you all fighting to keep community, and I love that. I can attest to the beauty I've seen in our women. Our Thursday morning Bible study has kept up with our morning meetings long after our official study has been over. We've shared, prayed, and worshiped together. We've prayed for really hard things 8 weeks ago that resulted in amazing praises just recently. There's been some really hard things too. Thank you, friends, for allowing us in and allowing us to share your burden. If you feel alone or disconnected, please reach out. A major thing that we missed during this spring was our women's retreat. I was super, super sad about that. But I'm confident God is working in the women of our church. Let's continue to lean on one another during this time. Reach out to friends, encourage, pray for them. We may not be physically together, but I see God doing some beautiful things. Let's remind each other of those things. These stories encourage us and build up our faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We just finished the study by Christine Kane entitled 2020, for those of you that were with us. I'll close with a passage from our study. We are God's daughters, and of all the titles we carry, we are more than this one title, more than any other. No other name given to us stands more permanent. No other title surpasses. Knowing we are a daughter turns our face unashamedly toward God. Knowing who we are changes the face we see in the mirror looking back at us. We are chosen, valuable, secure, and powerful because we are in Christ. When truth saturates our minds, our vision shifts, our hope emerges, and our love flows more freely. We are to move out into the world with the good news of the gospel. Until the time that Jesus' kingdom comes in its fullness, we are to carry his kingdom of hope and healing into a broken world that desperately needs him. It's the reason we have been seen, chosen, and sent. I love you, women of SCC. I'm thankful to get this moment to speak directly to you. You are seen, you are loved, you are chosen, you are sent. This pandemic doesn't change one thing in regard to those truths. So much of this study was who we are in Christ and how he is sending us into the world. Well, with this pandemic, our spheres are small right now. He's sending us into our families, our neighborhoods, friends we can call and encourage. Let's do this. I'm honored to walk alongside so many of you as we spur each other on. It is now my honor to introduce Erin Spinello this morning. She is one of my dearest friends, and I love her so much. She is an incredible daughter and sister to her family, a loving wife to Mike, an amazing mom to Kate and Lucy, an inspiring teacher, both in the school system for many years and also to the children in our church, a fierce prayer warrior, a loyal and passionate friend, a relentless pursuer of people's hearts. She is strong, she is an encourager, and she truly embodies the statement of nothing wasted. She has battled hard things in life and constantly seeks God's heart and purpose in all of it. She inspires me, and I trust God has given her an inspiring and encouraging word for us all today. Thank you in advance, Erin, for the time you've put into this message. And with that, Erin Spinello.
Hi, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Erica, thank you so much for those kind words. I'm just so moved, and I think about how Erica and I, our friendship started years ago in high school. We were on ASB together. We were on the homecoming court together. We had a lot of fun together. And then here we are doing ministry together, and we get to both share. So Erica, thank you so much. That blessed me. Today, as we're thinking about all the mamas out there, I've been cleaning out a lot of books during all of our downtime. And one of the things that I came across were all my Llama books. These are my favorite books. And if you have little kids out there, they're probably like, oh, mommy, I have that book. These are the best. And they've kind of explained every emotion that I have had during quarantine. Llama, mad at mama. I'm sorry, no, we can't go out and you can't hug your cousins. I know you're mad at me, but Llama has an answer for that. Llama, you're home with mama. Yes, you are. You're home with mama. We've been home and we've been hanging and we've been getting to know each other. So Llama, that's right, girl. You're home with mama. Llama misses mama. Not so much. There's been no missing because I'm right there the whole time with this little llama. We've been having so much fun just hanging and talking and being together for about, 2 months? It's awesome. Llama does not miss mama. And then we've even had a little bit of Llama bully goat. the new word that's entered our home is bully. So we've been working on what does it mean to be a bully. So llama, there's no bullying in this home for this llama. Llama, yep, you have to share. And sometimes you even have to share with your mama. So llama, thank you for teaching us all these things, especially during quarantine. So moms, as we've been talking, and it's your day, and this is so much fun. You heard who I am, I'm a mom. If you saw my house, if you saw my laundry, if you saw my kitchen sink, believe me, I'm one of you. You might even be a step above. So here I am just as a friend, another sister in the Lord, another mom, just to encourage you today. And I have two kids. I have an eighth grader, and I also have a third grader. So we've come up with a lot of things. One day, Lucy was just staring at me. Okay, this is deep into quarantine. She's looking at me, her eyes just glazing in. She goes, "Now I finally know what you do all day." And I went, "Oh no, I'm just sitting here staring. What do you think I do?" I'm like, "Oh no, this isn't normal." So we started laughing. And then I also heard her, you know, she was encouraging me and said, "Mom, you're finally out of your cooking rut," which made me laugh because I didn't know I was in one. But apparently my meals have gotten better with our baked bread, and a lot of you are making sourdough. I mean, we were pretty much keto before this, and now we're making bread. Who knew? There's so much that's changed. In all seriousness, there's so many things that moms say, and I am guilty of saying something that I made myself laugh so hard. But I looked at Lucy when she was asking me for the 10th time if she could have a play date. I said, "Lucy, it is a real good time for you to go make an imaginary friend." And she just about died. She said, "I'm making her crazy in this quarantine time." So I started thinking about a few things that we, as moms, say and that have come out of my mouth. These are the things. My mother taught me religion. When I spill grape juice on the carpet, she would instruct me, "You better pray that stain gets out." I have said that as nail polish was on my sofa during quarantine. My mother taught me logic. From her words, "Because I said so, that's why." I have said that so many times. Just done, that's what I said. My mom taught me foresight. "You better make sure you have clean underwear on in case you get in an accident." Well, thankfully I haven't had to use that one. My mother taught me irony. "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to laugh about." Maybe I've said that. My mother taught me stamina. "Oh yeah, you'll sit there until that spinach is gone." Yeah, I've said something like that. Mother taught me about weather. "Looks like a tornado swept through your room." I can relate to that. So moms, we all say things that are funny, and our kids say things to us that make us laugh. So I have enjoyed during this time having a good sense of humor, not taking myself too seriously, and really enjoying what God's done in this time of quarantine. So I don't know about you, but I started off strong, like, "Oh yes, you know, I'm gonna get that project done that I haven't gotten done before." And I said, you know, and this is really a talk I had with myself. And when I was sitting there and trying to be quiet before the Lord, "Lord, I know that there's something in this for me. As far as this, I felt like we were all put on a timeout during this time of quarantine with the COVID, and really reflective, because some of our dear friends are out there fighting these battles, people fighting for their health. And yet in our little family of four, we were, you know, we were warm and cozy and safe. And I just felt so thankful, but prayerful for others. And I was really asking the Lord, like, "Please don't let me miss what you're teaching me." And as I would pray these things and feel like I was missing what he was teaching me, I found myself looking at the garden more, watering the garden. I've become an avid bird watcher. I'm watching these birds. We have all these different kinds of birds in my backyard. We're reading more as a family. We're slowing down. We're eating at the table more. We're going for more family walks. We're praying more. We're being mindful more. And those are the things that I feel for me that the Lord has washed over me, that it's really to notice. Notice what he's doing. Notice what's already there. So I don't know what he spoke to you, moms, in this quarantine time, but it is definitely one that I would encourage you to reflect upon. Mike and I, you know, when we go grocery shopping like you guys, it's like we're suiting up. I mean, we have the mask, the gloves. We'll say, "We're going in. Godspeed." We come back, and then it's a war to get clean again. All clothes, you know, wash immediately. Don't touch. Disinfect. Go. Yes, we've turned into that family. Crazy. "Did you wear your shoes in this house? Now I have to Lysol this whole thing." Basically. Okay, so, you know, all these things, but what the Lord has done to my heart has quieted it down. I mean, I realized I was going through, I don't know how many tanks of gas in a week. I've gone through 2 during quarantine. I feel that the Lord is saying, slow down and be watchful. And one of the things that I have learned would be my first point, the lie that time fixes things. Okay, so I don't know how many of you thought, oh, I am going to do X, Y, and Z. I am going to do blah, blah, blah. Well, I have found without intentional focus and intentional purpose, those X, Y, and Zs are still there. And I thought that I saw this really funny meme that Seth said, after years of wanting to thoroughly clean my house, but lacking time, this week I discovered time wasn't the reason, because I have had so much time and some of those things are still there. So time, saying we have time or time heals wounds or time does this, it can be a lie. Time doesn't always do what we hope it does. I want to encourage us as mothers and as people to be a person with the end in mind. In fact, if I was titling this whole message, I'd call it Endgame. What is your end game? You know, when you're a mom, and I mean, oh my goodness, moms out there with littles, you know, they're 2 and 3 and, you know, they're crying and having fits. And then someone comes along and says, don't worry, it goes so fast. I remember thinking, are you kidding me? I'm exhausted. This is not going fast enough. And now that my kids are older, it's kind of the opposite. They're right. It goes so fast. And I am finding myself now, we're transitioning with our 13-year-old. We're talking to him like, what kind of man do you want to be? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? And he's like, I'm just starting puberty. I don't know. Right? There's so much going on. But those are the kind of things. What's the end game? And recently, Mike and I were sitting out back trying to find a little peace and talk. And we had a Zoom, one of our, you know, 8 Zooms in the day with one of Cade's teachers. And we have a big decisions coming up for our son, of where he's going to go to school and what he's going to do. And they said, so let me ask you, where do you see Cade next year? And that question was like a dagger in my heart, because honestly, I and my husband, Mike, really try not to look at where we see our kid the next year. I try to go in the future of them being a grown man and grown woman and look back. And I think to myself, what do I need to do today to get there? So I overwhelmed the teacher when I said, well, when he's 30, I want him to be able to, and he's like, what? I said, no, it's my process. This is what we do. We go to the end and we work back. If we want an independent child, we work on skills. If we want a child who loves Jesus, we teach Jesus to them. You know, we impart. And am I working towards the goals with my children? And like when Lucy looked at me in the eye and says, this is what you do all day? I suddenly felt under such a magnifying glass that she's literally watching me. I'm like a subject that she is studying, like so close. And it just put a kind of a good awareness in me and a reminder that they're not gonna remember everything I say, but they're watching what I do. So if I say, you know, that we want Jesus to be the most important thing to you and it's not the most important thing to us, they see it doesn't match. And it is always hard to give away what you don't have. And so no matter where we are as parents, as mothers, because this is really your day, the Lord is more than enough to fill us up where we lack. I lack so much. And every day I tell the Lord, here I am again. You know, use me, Lord. Wash me. I started thinking as parents, you know, the Lord does the same thing with us. He sees us. He sees our end game. He sees where he wants us to go and be and become more Christ-like. But we're in the middle, stuck, maybe like that llama having so much drama that we can't even get up and do whatever because we're stuck. And the Lord is so gracious. If we invite him into that and he'll say, I'll help you. You can do this. In Romans 8:29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is wanting to conform us unto himself, becoming more Christ-like. And if you're like me, we get empty, we get dry, we get tired, we get impatient, we get lonely, we get scared. These are things that a mom can feel in like 5 minutes. All those different emotions. It's true. Yet when we draw to him and he draws close to us, we get a new grace and we get filled up. One of the things that my husband and I have really taken on is we're teaching our children ownership. Because as the Lord invites us in, he also invites us into owning it, owning what he's doing in our life, owning what he's asking us to do. As the Lord invites us into that, I personally picture it like a garden, that he's inviting us into this beautiful garden. And gardens are beautiful when they're maintained. But in a garden goes fertilizer, weeds, deep plowing, watering, pruning. Yes, pruning. And he does all of that so we can enjoy beautiful fruit in our lives. And as we teach our kids that, when we read in John 15 that he is the vine, that we learn how he loves us so much and how that he does everything he does out of love. If he's chopping a branch, it's almost like him saying, I love you so much, you don't need that. We know that plants that grow extra things are wasting their energy. I love you so much, that is done. And at the time we grieve it and it's so hard, yet we know that God is good and he's good all the time and he does these things in you and in me to better us, to give us fruit that doesn't wear out and his seed that continues from generation to generation and his word that never ever returns void. In John 15, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it will be more fruitful. And you think about that when we're reading the scripture, think about it in real terms. When, you know, our kids do something and we correct them, it's because we love them. We want them to be even better. And love in a garden is a lot better than love in the world, because the garden is a safe place. It symbolizes a covering community. It's even meant to, I've learned that, you know, victory gardens were things in World War II that they grew gardens to bless and to feed, that we are to be a garden and encourage people and invite them in to what God's done. My good friend, Emmy Teresa, who is all about gardening, told me it's all about the soil. And that's probably not growing well because the soil's not good. You need to amend the soil. The Lord is amending our hearts. He's adding to us. He's making us, you know, putting in minerals we didn't know we needed. That could come through a friend, could come through a spouse. And most importantly, it comes from God's word. And when he prunes us so that we'll be more fruitful, you are already clean because the word I've spoken over you. Remain in me also, remain, and I in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. It's like I picture me saying to my daughter, I am the boss, you are the child. I know what I'm doing. I see a big picture. You see this hour. I see 30 years. The Lord is saying, I know what I'm doing in your life. Trust me, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you, put your name in there, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Bearing fruit with our children can look different ways. I remember thinking, we were told once parenting that if you don't win this battle by a certain age, you'll be fighting it your whole life. So we kept thinking, oh, this is that battle. This is the one they were talking about. Nope, there's another one. Oh, this is the one. And they always come in really inconvenient times. Like when you're at the grocery store or you have a full cart of, you know, of groceries and your kid just is going nuts. You have a choice. Do you tend to that garden or do we ignore? It's the little things. In 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 11, I love how the intentionality of Hannah, who had the end in mind. She knew the big picture. It says, then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest who was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, I will give your maidservant a son, and then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come to his head. She knew that if the Lord gave her this gift, it was really for him. She had the end in mind. Moses' mom surrendered her son to save him. She had the end in mind, the big picture. Ruth and Naomi, a beautiful picture about a spiritual mother, wasn't her biological mom, but as a spiritual mother, which, you know, sadly this day can be super painful for some of us that haven't had maybe that relationship you hope for, or there's some brokenness. But I do believe and want you to be encouraged that there's a spiritual mother for you out there, and they're waiting and willing to go, and you can follow their lead and trust them. My second to last point, I was laughing as I've been putting on my mask and putting on my gloves, laughing because it feels super awkward, but then knowing it's important, you know, when we go into the store, and I felt like the Lord said to me, you're masking up, and I believe the Lord was asking me to armor up in him. And what would happen if we take that same intentionality of the virus when we go out into the community for Jesus, and we wear that armor that we know we need desperately, that we're not in la-la land thinking, oh, this is a test run, this is it, you don't get another day back. You know, by God's grace, we have the next day and the day after. But we take it with intentionality, and there's a battle all around us that we cannot see. And I think a really good example is the virus. It's hard because we can't see it. We can't get our hands on it. We don't know where it is. It just feels like it's always lurking. So to be cautious, we put on our gear and we wash our hands for 20 seconds and we have 6 feet apart. We're doing these things. But we know firsthand that the fear and stress and anxiety that this can bring if we don't choose to look at it differently. The battle is the Lord's, and he's asking us either to hold steady or to push on. I don't know what he's saying in your situation, but the battle is the Lord's. And I believe teaching our kids how to battle is one of the most important things we can do. Because it's not about getting them just through the day, but it's teaching them down the road how to not give up on their marriage, how to fight for their finances, how to press in and love people. Well, that comes with pressure because it's easy to give up. It's easy to say, lay down, I don't have to. It takes strength to stand and stand firm. And I just have been talking, my husband and I, during this lots of extra different time we've had during the COVID, shelter in place, we have been talking to them about the battling in the Lord, the armor of God, the fiery missiles of the enemy. And as scary as that can sound to a child, the good news is, you know, my parents taught me this and I teach them, he's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, but he doesn't have any teeth. So the weakest Christian can put the enemy to flight. And my kids thought that was so cool, that you can take captive those things, that you can bind those things in Jesus' name. And kids, if you're out there, you know, when you say to your mom and dad, hey, mom, or hey, I'll use my kids, hey, Lucy, mom said to stop. That's different than, hey, Lucy, stop. When mom says to stop, that's a different authority. And that's that authority we carry in Christ. We carry because we've been washed by the blood. We represent the King of Kings. The creator of the universe wants to hang out with us, which is wild. He doesn't even want to Zoom. He wants to sit with us. It's awesome. And I feel like I've said to myself, wake up, because there is flaming missiles around, but we have the ability to stand firm. In Ephesians, very familiar passage, and this is my last little point here, but in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength in his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It doesn't say if, But they're going to come. We have to stand firm. And standing firm means some resolve. You're not just hanging. You're standing firm and ready. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers and against the world force of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, what is it therefore? Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet in preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when we put on that belt of truth, I read that soldiers, that was the very first thing they put on. The belt, it wasn't like, if you feel like it, you can wear a belt. I don't know. No, put on your belt. Your belt holds up everything because the belt made everything fit right so that he could carry the weapons and he could battle. So the belt of truth is God's word. It's the standard. This is true. It's not what you want to be true. It's the truth. And that's the first thing they put on. And the belt helps strengthen the soldiers. The breastplate of righteousness, it covered all the organs necessary for life in the soldiers. Righteousness is our breastplate, and it covers our hearts. Our heart is so prone to wander. Mine is. And when I come back in the presence of God, I see how off-skewed I've been, even just a little. It makes a big difference if you don't hit the target. Shoes of peace. Well, this makes me laugh because every time I get my running shoes, my dog wags its tail and follows me around because she knows the shoes means going. Shoes of peace provide protection. They show readiness. And when the soldiers put them on, they were flexible and they had holes in them to make it breathable, but they were action oriented. And I've heard it described as when you go into a situation, you know, you're bringing the kingdom into that. And that can bring peace. When people get reconciled to Jesus, that's the peace they're seeking. That's the peace we're all seeking. So the shoes of peace, the shield of faith that covers the soldiers, that cover them so their whole body could get behind it and the missiles. And they're really, to me, when I think of that, it's like all these distractions coming. It kind of makes you want to go crazy, but you have to stay focused with the end in mind. And the act of faith in a Christian's heart and life is what just moves that shield. And for me, my faith gets really churned when I'm worshiping. And so I play lots of worship songs in my car, when I'm listening to music, because it reminds me that the battle belongs to the Lord. So that is a huge thing. And then the helmet of salvation protects our mind, our brain, right? So we know that that's where our number one battleground is. And I think recently I've been learning a lot about the brain even more. My son has a brain injury. And so I'm always interested in how rewiring occurs. And the renewing of your mind, which is God's idea, affects your brain. And there's so much research on it, and it heals it. So the Lord's ideas are always, there's always more than it appears, but he's inviting us into a protection that it's sealed. The helmet of salvation is done, but there's so much more he wants to invite us into. And in closing thoughts, you're not alone. Moms, you're not alone. And this goes for whoever's watching this. If you're not married, you're not alone. If you're divorced, you're not alone. If you've been in an abusive situation, you're not alone. The Lord is there. He knows you. He loves you. He's called you by name. And he's calling each one of you and me to suit up, put on the armor. Okay, just like we would do the mask and the gloves, right? And we're going out there and we're looking and we're being intentional and careful. He's calling us to suit up for the battle and look and bring the gospel of peace into every situation. And with our kids, what an honor it is. If you don't have children, you can be like a spiritual mom to somebody. If you do have children, what a privilege. If your kids are grown and you think it's too late to make an impact, that is a lie of the enemy. That's not true, because the Lord is always in the business of restoration. And if we're breathing, he's not done. So I want to encourage you, moms, don't give up, stay strong. I loved all the things Erica said. There's so many opportunities to be involved in our church and to be loved on and prayed for, and that you deserve a break today, okay? We could write a llama book about that from the mama, okay? Not from the kids having all the drama. So we love you guys so much, and we hope that you feel loved today and know that your SCC church family misses you terribly. And this is a virtual hug. Love you guys. Have a great day.
This is to all you mamas. You guys rock. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. One of the greatest things I love about you is how you are so, like, confident in everything you do. And then thank you so much for teaching me how to draw, because I'd still be drawing stick figures today. All right, happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
I love my mom because she's caring, she's loving, she's selfless, and I wouldn't be who I am today without her. She's amazing, and I love her.
Hey, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
Good job. Russell, say I love you, Mommy.
I do.
Good job.
Bye.
What I love about my mom is that she's always up for an adventure, so to go on a hike or to the beach, and that she cooks me food that reminds me of my childhood.
Hi, happy Mother's Day. I think what makes my mom proud is when the kid accomplishes something that their mom always wished they did, and she's proud when we accomplish something or get like an award or do something like that. So, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and have a nice Mother's Day.
Hi, happy Mother's Day. One thing I love about my mom is that she encourages me in all that I do, and she pushes me to have a better relationship with Christ.
I love my mom because she is kind and loving and patient, and she always puts others before herself.
I think something my mom is really good at is cooking.
Happy Mother's Day!
Love you. We love you.
Bye.
One thing that I love about my mom is that she supports me in everything that I do. Thank you so much, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
What I think my mom is good at is designing. There's a lot of things, but that's one of the main ones. We've been working on our house for quite some time. She's been making it better in every way.
Hey, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. What I love most about you is that you never give up on what you're doing, and you're always there for us, and you always have a positive attitude, even in the toughest situations. Love you.
I love you, Mom, because you're always hardworking, and you set a good example for everybody that you are with.
I love you, Mom, because you're always there for me, and you take care of us.
Something that I love about my mom is that she always puts others' needs before herself.
I love you, Mommy.
Girl. Paige, can you say I love you, Mommy? Love you, Mommy. Chloe, can you say Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day.
All right, girl. I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mama, and thank you for being proud of me all the time.
Hi, Mommy. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day! Mom, we love you so much, and we just wanted to say that we love how much you care for other people and just what a loving and kind person you are.
We love you.
We hope you have a great day, and we love you so much.
Hi, Mommy. I love you. Hi, Mom. We love you. Happy Mother's Day. And I love you because you're so kind, and I love when you snuggle me, and I love when you tell me stories.
I love you, dinosaur!
I love my mom because she's always there for me, and she agreed to get this guy.
I love my mom because she's really nice and she makes good food.
I make my mom proud when I clean my room.
Abby, what makes your mom proud?
When I listen to her the first time.
My mom's really good at singing.
My mom's really good at being nice.
I love you, Mommy.
Patterson, what makes your mom proud?
She's proud if she finishes a puzzle.
She goes, booyah!
I love you, Mommy!
Mrs., what is one thing Mommy's really good at?
When they playing with us?
So, what Mommy's really good at, what doing with us, is taking care of us really well.
What I love about Mommy is that she's very patient, and she's always there to just comfort you and when you need help, and she loves us very much, and we love her dearly.
Say, we love you, Mommy.
We love you, Mommy.
We love you, Mommy.
My mom is really good at snuggling. She's really good at cooking. And she's really good at finding us places to sleep around the world. I love you, Mommy.
My mom is really good at taking care of me and my brothers and my sister.
Dad taking care of us, and I'm really good at making my bed feel better.
My mom is proud of me and Oak when we are helpful and good listeners.
Happy Mother's Day!
We really appreciate you. Thank you for your hard work.
We love you. Love you.
I love you, Mommy.
The things I love about my mom is she's very nice to us. She loves us. She makes me want to be a Christian. And she loves us, and she's never been mean to us before. And she always tries to care for us, and she makes us great food. And I love her over the gates and moons and everything. And she is super nice to us. And she made me be born. And I have brothers and sisters because of her. And I just love that she made me, and that God helped me be alive too. And that I very much do like going to church, because she made me want to go to church because how Christian she is, and how much she loves God, and how much she loves him and me. And she reads me a Bible verse every morning, and she reads the Bible to me in the middle of the day, and it's so much fun. I love doing that with her, and yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. What I love about you is you're devoted to your kids. You go out of your way almost every single day to make sure our lives are easier. And we just love you, and I thank you, Mom.
What is your mommy really good at?
Cooking.
What's your mom proud?
When I clean the whole house. When I do a big jump on my bike.
So, Archer.
Yes.
What do you really love about your mom?
Well, what I love about my mom is how, like, whenever we need help with anything, she's always there, just willing to help us, and she's always so nice about it, and she'll, like, be there to help you through it, like, no matter how long it takes, really.
Bo, yes. What makes your mom proud?
When we're tough, when we do school well, and when we do chores without asking, and when we are active, when we... like, have the choice not to be active, and yeah.
Good job. All right, Cole and Hadley, what is your mom really good at?
Okay, she's really good at taking care of us when we get hurt.
She's really good at taking care of us and helping us doing school and coloring. Peace and calming.
Happy Mother's Day.
Mom, I love that you love to, like, go watch movies with me. You're really fun to be with. You're one of my favorite people to hang out with. You always bring like happiness and joy to wherever you are.
Yes, Mom, I love how joyful you are and your smile, and you brighten my day, and I love to hang out with you and be around you, and love you so much, Mom.
Love you. What I love most about you is how relatable you are.
and like your advice, and I'm so easily, whenever you tell me, it's so easy to relate to myself because we're so similar, so love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love that you take time out of your day to make sure I get to school and basketball practice on time, and I love when we sit on the couch together and watch a movie.
And I love your sense of humor and your homemade tacos. Also, thank you for being the most level-headed person in the house. Happy Mother's Day.
Cheese!
What is your mommy really good at?
Taking baths.
I think that my mom is really a good cook, and that I'm really blessed that she does all the hard work.
Anything else?
And I also think that she's really nice and kind and beautiful. And I really think that I'm really blessed that she's my mom.
What I love about my mom is that she's so kind and she makes food for us, and she also buys stuff for us, and that's all.
My mom is good at helping people. My mom is good at taking photos of people.
What is mommy really good at?
What is she really good at? Lacrosse.
Good at lacrosse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nice. Now, what is she good at now as a mommy? What do you love most about mama? What does she do for you guys?
She takes care of us.
Yeah? Like what? Give me some good examples.
She helps me when I get hurt.
Uh-huh.
She helps me when I'm stressed.
Uh-huh.
And she also helps me doing school.
What is mommy really good at?
Helping us bake.
Helping me bake what?
Pancakes.
Pancakes? You guys bake pancakes? Nice. What else?
Eggs. Riley's good at eggs.
Riley's good at eggs. Okay, stay right there. Okay, what do you love most about Mama?
Because she helps us bake pancakes.
Because she helps you bake pancakes? Nice. What else? What makes Mama super cool?
Helping us.
Helping you with what?
Pancakes.
Pancakes. Love it. All right. Thanks, Boo-Boo.
Pancakes.
Pancakes?
Yeah.
Why are you so obsessed with pancakes?
Bye.
Happy Mother's Day.
One of my favorite things about my mom is her hugs.
And my favorite thing is that she always has time to listen to me because I'm a big talker. We are so grateful for our mom, and happy Mother's Day to all the other moms. We love you, but especially our mom.
What I love about my mom is she's just such a big role model in my life. She's so selfless and caring, and she loves us so much. And I'm just so grateful to have her. Love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom, because you're so pretty.
I love you, Mom, because you're so awesome.
I love... Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you so much. Thank you for being my mother.
What makes my mom proud is this garden, us, and when we trust in the Lord. Bye. Happy Mother's Day!
Thank you for loving us unconditionally.
What's up, Silly Goose? Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for always caring about me and telling me that it's what mothers do, even though I'm totally fine and safe. Love you so much.
Hi, Mama. I'm so blessed that God has given me the most perfect mama I could ever ask for. Happy Mother's Day. I love you so much.
Mother's Day, Mom. We love you.
Hi, Mom. What I love about my mom is she's so funny. She says the exact same things to make me laugh, and she's my biggest cheerleader. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
I love you, Mama.
What's mom good at?
Everything.
What does she make? What makes her proud?
Having a good attitude.
What I love about my mom is that she's really good at just everything, and she's really kind and very giving, and she just takes really good care of us. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom, I love you, and thank you for being our wonderful family.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Mom, you're such an amazing cook and the best mom a son could ever ask for. I love you so much. Have an amazing day.
Love you so much, Mom. You are just the most generous person I know. You're beautiful inside and out, and we're so thankful to have you as our mom. Love you.
Love you, Mom.
All right, girls, tell me something that Mommy is really good at.
Helping us be nice. Cooking. She's really good at making us happy when we're sad and making delicious food.
Great job.
Love you, Mama.
We love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom. I love you, and I'm so thankful for all that you do for me. Happy Mother's Day to you and to all the great moms out there. Go have a great day.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making in the soil, now surrender. You are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil, I now surrender. You are breaking new ground. You are breaking. So make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, and all you have given me, Jesus, bring a new wine out. Jesus, bring new wine.